You cannot serve both God and mammon. It's true, you know. There is no clever homily, no subtle interpretation that lets us get around that fact. Yet there is also no getting around the fact that it's pretty near impossible to survive in this world without making a little money. Anyone who wants to feed their kids, keep them clothed, have a place to live, and possibly send their children to Catholic school knows full well that making money is a necessary part of life. So what does Christ mean when he says this? The key word here is the verb, serve. You cannot serve mammon, but you still need money. So what's the answer? Stewardship. You must serve God and only God above all else. But what if you can serve God with your money? Better yet, the whole point is that even the money you make is never fully yours. Everything that exists, everything that you are, came from somewhere else. God created this world, and God keeps this world in existence. God gave you the gifts and talents you have that allow you to make a living. God is the owner of the whole universe. But it's not that simple. We can consider that the very first thing he does when he finishes creating earth, sky, sea, land, plants, and animals is that he hires a manager, Adam. He gives this manager a place to stay, payment in the form of food, and he even offers a benefits package for his wife and kids. Like a powerful businessman or landowner, God has a whole lot, but he very much prefers to have talented managers keeping things running. Now, we call them managers, but in Christ's day, owners would call them stewards. And that is what Jesus is talking about in this parable. The rich man hired a steward and gave him a place to live so that he could keep his affairs in order. But this steward, this manager, was kind of wasteful and inefficient. So the rich man calls up his manager and says, "I've heard you're not doing well with my money, with my business. Get the books ready. We're doing an audit." This manager, since he knows that the audit will end poorly for him, prepares because he knows he's about to lose his place to live and he's worried about his future. So imagine, if you will, that this business is a supply store and the manager, before he gets the books ready, decides to make a few friends with the regular customers. He takes a look at the outstanding invoices and picks a few guys who owe a lot of money, calls them in, and gives them a smaller invoice, even though some of that money is his commission. Obviously, this makes those customers very happy, making them much more likely to offer him a place to stay later on when he's out on the street. And on top of that, these customers don't know that he's about to be fired, so they think that this is the owner making this generous change, which makes the owner look very good. So, when the owner does finally get a look at those books, it is too late to stop the invoices. Not only that, he can't really call up the customers and demand that they pay the old price, because that would make him look pretty terrible. Checkmate. The owner realizes he's been outmaneuvered and is actually impressed by how clever the manager was. So he commends him for his cleverness, but he still fires him. So, what is Christ getting at when he praises this whole exchange? It is still a dishonest thing to do, and it's basically a form of stealing. Surely Christ is not telling us to rip people off and then use that money to do good things, right? Right. Jesus assumes his audience knows that what the steward did was wrong. He even calls him dishonest. But he's using this story to make a point. By talking about something so obviously dishonest, He's trying to make his listeners pay more attention. He wants to tease their minds to ask some questions and look for a deeper meaning. And one of the deeper meanings there is this: be clever about what is given to you, and don't give up hope when you run into trouble. You have been given an immense gift, the gift of grace and salvation. So do not squander it like the steward in the parable. And do not give up hope when you run into trouble. Christ also tells us to make friends for ourselves with dishonest wealth. What does he mean? He means that wealth, money, material riches, these things are dishonest because they lie to us about our happiness. We often think that a little more money, a little more stuff, maybe a nice vacation will make us happy, but that is a lie. Instead of chasing after money, we should use this money to make friends for ourselves. Or in other words, almsgiving. It is an ancient Jewish and Catholic belief that giving money to the poor atones for our sins. Our psalm today tells us that from the dunghill, God lifts up the poor to seat them with his princes, with the princes of his own people. These princes, the poor that God loves, can be your advocate before him. If you use your money and other resources to help those in need, they will thank God for you and pray for you. And that prayer can help you get to heaven. So that's what Jesus means when he says to make friends with dishonest wealth, so that you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Now, just to make sure that we're getting the right lesson, Christ immediately follows up this parable and teaching with a very clear teaching that we should be trustworthy in small matters, and warns about being dishonest ourselves. We also have the first reading, which condemns shady business practices and greed. So no, you cannot serve God and mammon. You will hate one and love the other. Choose then to love God. And this means remembering that you do not live for money or anything on this earth. This means remembering that everything you have ultimately belongs to God. You are but a steward. So be wise with what God has entrusted to you. Be clever with it. Do not waste it, and use it as effectively as possible to win friends for yourself. There's nothing wrong with doing well in business. It's what we do with our success, whether we care for what matters with that money, that puts us to the test. I encourage you to win over people who are friends with God, the poor, those he has sent to proclaim the gospel, his church, so that these can be your advocate before him when our judgment eventually comes. And finally, even more importantly, remember that you are a child of the light. You are a citizen of heaven, a pilgrim on this earth. You are a Catholic. Not only are you a steward over your material possessions and businesses, but you are also a steward over your own soul and your eternal fate. God has given you an immense gift in baptism and in your faith. Do you realize how precious this treasure is? Are you like the steward in the parable, wasting God's property? We have very many ways to invest this gift to enrich our faith. Almsgiving is a great way that Christ tells us. There are also the sacraments. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of private devotions to help us foster a personal relationship with Christ. The church has an immense body of teachings and a very rich history, a great resource to grow in wisdom and understanding. Christ became poor so that you might become rich in what matters. I urge you, do not squander it. And even if you have squandered it so far, do not give in to despair. Invest the same time and energy you would to save a failing business or to avoid losing your home. Be clever. Take advantage of all the things that the church offers: annulments, confession, the year of mercy, indulgences. God wants all men to be saved. And believe me when I tell you that we want to do whatever we can to welcome you to eternal dwellings.